memories. You know, I'm not going to be trilling out there.
Hi, guys, and welcome back to Ticket A42 for 2016. I hope you all had a great Christmas and a great new year. Hey, I've got a pretty exciting guest lined up for the first podcast of this year. I was lucky enough to sit down with Delta Goodrum in between shows the day before they finished in Melbourne and have a chat with her about her role as Grizabella in Cats. She was everything I thought she'd be and more. She's just the most generous and lovely, sunshiny kind of girl. So I hope you enjoy it. As usual, everything we talk about will be on the information page. And please keep tweeting me. Thanks, guys. See you in the next one. Dr. Goodrum, thank you so much for joining me and welcome to Ticket A42.
Thank you so much for having me.
Hey, now we are sitting in the booth at yes. Cats in between shows on a Saturday. You've done one and you've got another to go. How are you feeling?
You know, I actually love double show days, but we are coming to the end, so it's been like a long run and you're winding down and it's like at the very last. But I really, because I would just live on stage at all times, so I'm sort of happy to have two show days. Although in saying that, I mean, I'm not dancing as much as the other cats, so I can understand it's a little harder for their their bodies.
And I guess like all the listeners at Aussie Theatre would love to know, I'm sure people ask you this all the time, but how are you enjoying doing the show now that you've been doing it for a few months?
I honestly, and I've said it quite a few times, like I really feel like it's so, like I feel overwhelmed with like a sense of where have you been all my life, joining theatre. It seems like, how did I not discover this younger? But everything's in good timing, and I believe and trust the timing of when things are meant to come across your path. But I feel like that the role, it's a very spiritual connection between Grizabella and what I feel to her, what she's gone through, and I just feel a very, very deep, profound feeling about the story of Grizabella. And so, and I'm totally aware that this is my version. Like, and I believe in any actor and in any performer, it has to be your truth. Yeah. You can never try to play someone else's truth. Yeah. My truth of what I connect with her is what I try every night to tap into and make sure I do. But I feel so embraced by the theatre community, and I feel very embraced by my cast members more than anyone.
Yeah. Awesome. That's so good to hear. And tell me about, so for people that have not done the musical Cats, and there are a lot of people that have done it over the years, the thing that they don't realise is that along with rehearsing the show, learning the songs and the dancing, you have to do cat classes.
Yeah, it was the best first day ever. Oh my God, I think my friends are actually getting bored of me talking about the amount of cat stories I talk about.
Yeah.
So my very first day at rehearsals was literally, everybody go to sleep, and when you wake up, you slowly wake up as a cat.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, wow, and I've just met everybody. And they're going, okay, so have the interactions. Everyone's going to come up to you, Delta, and just, you know, be their characters and their adjectives, you know, with you as a cat. And I sort of was responding with my one adjective that I got given, because you get them over the course of a couple of days.
Yeah.
And it was like these incredible, incredible improvisations that, like, was happening, like improv that was going on. And I was so enamored by everybody's cat. Like, I was just, and I still am. Like, and that's like what I get when I'm side stage and I watch. I'm so enamored by them as feline creatures that it's just, it's so much fun. Cat classes was hysterical. Although this one time, actually, we were at the Ministry of Dance, and there was all these other kids outside, and we had to kind of go and find food, like, as a cat.
Yes.
And I saw these schools of dancing kids standing out there, and I was like, yeah, I'm going to stay inside on this one, guys. I'm so sorry, but it might be Delta loses her mind, you know, like crawling around the dance studios if they don't see anyone else is doing it.
Yeah. There'll be some photo that rocks up somewhere with you. Yeah.
I was like, oh, I'll just stay inside on this one, right? Yeah, are we good with that?
Yeah. Oh, that's funny. Hey, so when the rumours kind of started swirling that Cats was returning, because, you know, it always comes back every 5, 6, 7 years, and then, you know, we'd seen the photos from London of the new kind of imagining of the show, and Tugger, and you know, and we were like, okay, who's going to play Grizabella? And then the rumor started swelling that it was going to be you. Like, what was your What was your first reaction to that, to the phone call that was like, would you like to kind of be considered for the role? Like, were you like, absolutely not, or wow, okay, you know, like, what was your first thing?
It was the second one. It was like, oh, I believe in every single, any opportunity that comes my way, I'm open. Like, I'm like, okay, let me see what this is. What does this mean right this minute?
Yeah.
But it felt like a combination of calling to the universe. It felt like a moment of going, I'm really, with TV, I love making TV, but, you know, I get to sing in spot fires. And actually the voice we get to sing more than probably in other shows make a part of. But, you know, the eccentric artist side of me, which is why anyone ever got to know me in the first place, gets to be, you know, kind of come alive by this. And I guess I had been calling out that I wanted to just be performing every night. Yeah. I'd sort of been saying that consistently, like, what I miss is actually doing my craft every day. Yes, I get to go into the studio and make my album and record, and that's when I get to be Mad Hatter, you know, name me of names, as I start to reference it. Yeah. But, like, I start to create there.
Yeah.
So that fulfills that. But there was a real area in my life where I was going, I'm not getting to do this enough.
Sure.
And the relationship between this relationship with music and I'm not getting to perform enough.
Yeah.
And so when this came on, the first sort of thoughts were Cats. And I was like, Andrew Lloyd Webber. I was like, I don't know anything about it.
Yeah.
I just know of it.
Yeah.
And then I was like, okay, well, let me just find out what this is. And and so when I met Joe, the director, and I just wanted to meet everybody and see what their energy was like. And when she described to me Grizabella, and when she started speaking to me about the story, because I, again, I'd never seen it.
Yeah.
A new memory, but to a point.
Yeah.
I downloaded the movie and then just was dumbfounded at not understanding yet. Like, I was like, what is going on? But I knew, but I knew I loved Grizabella.
Yeah.
I was like, this is fascinating. Then when Jo started talking to me about what she had, what the aspects of her, I just started crying. Like, I was just like, it just kind of was a very, like, tears of inspiration, and I just couldn't not do it. Especially when I first sang Memory with her, I was like, there's something about these lyrics and where I'm at right this moment that getting to do this is everything.
Yeah.
I know that sounds like, it's like everything I've gone through is in this song right now.
And don't you reckon, because I worked with Jo too when I did the show, and there's something about that woman that, you know, she, once you're a part of the family of Cats, that she's just, she has this profound effect on everyone that she kind of touches, you know?
I couldn't love her more. I love her direction. I love her insight. I love her thought-provoking movements. And then when you get to know Cats, because again, just because I wasn't exposed to it young. Yeah. So on first glance of a movie, you know, I'm sort of going, okay, I need to be explained this.
Yeah.
When I've gotten to learn it, I've been like, wow, like the meanings behind this.
Yeah.
There's a reason why there's a following for 30 years because there's abstract moments. And then when you learn that one movement means Old Deuteronomy's aura or, you know, your hand moving back, the way that the symbolism of, you know, the touching of the connection between at the very end when Vicky comes up to me, and there's this beautiful, the beauty in the simplicity of movements and is so beautiful.
Yeah.
So amazing. I really fell in love with it.
Yeah, amazing. Now, speaking of the following, like you just touched on it, so there's a huge following for Cats.
Yes.
And you would have, of course, you know, have had your fair share of, shall we say, enthusiastic followers. But then I feel like Cats has got like a whole nother bag of enthusiastic fan followers. And we've all had, like, even those of us that have kind of toured the show through Asia, where they go, like, they're just so, you know, incredible and generous with their time and their gifts and stuff. And then there's a few kind of crazy stories. Have you had any kind of like way out of the left of field kind of fan experiences on Cats with people just, you know, wanting...
Have you been speaking to
Ez
and Matt?
No. I just assumed that it would happen, you know, because it's Cats.
Yes. I definitely meet, you know, it's been consistently, I've met so many people side stage, like stage door. After every single performance, I go and I've met, like, you know, just numerous amounts of wonderful, beautiful people who are Cats fans. And it's been wonderful to bring my music, my people who have followed, you know, my music all their life to a musical. And some of them are like, we've never actually gone to a musical. And you're like, awesome, I'm so glad.
So Delta, lots and lots of singers listen to this podcast, like budding singers and stuff, and theatre performers. And I always think with you, like I've only just met you today, but you always sound $1 million, you know, like throughout the years, you always just sound $1 million whenever you sing, you know. And the last time that I kind of heard you sing was I was at Carol's on Christmas Eve.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, and you smashed, like you'd done it. Did you do one show or two shows that day?
We had done a show. Did we do two shows that day? I don't remember. I think we did, yeah.
Yeah, and then you came and opened the show at Carol's. Then you smashed out Oh Holy Night and then you smashed out All I Want for Christmas. Still sounding $1 million. And my friend and I were like, what do you mean? So what I want to ask is, what's your secret? Like, what do you drink? What do you, like, how do you warm up? What do you do as a singer?
As a singer, it's funny. I mean, knowing thy voice is the most important thing. And observing your voice at all times.
Yeah.
Monitoring like an athlete.
Yeah.
Being aware of that. Even though it was very late and closing the show was like I'd been warmed up in different moments sporadically during the day.
Yeah.
And then it gets late and your voice is tired and you just got to monitor when to keep warming up, when to just stop.
Yeah.
And it's just really important. I mean, I do what everybody else does. I do all the Manuka honeys. I do all the warm-ups. And what I'm learning even from theatre is that my voice surprises me all the time too, as in when it's – when you think, you're like, the other night I was like, there's no way, my voice is so tired right now.
Yeah.
And then it'll go, no, I'm awake. And then sometimes we're like, I'm really awake. And then it's like, I'm a little tired and scratchy right now.
So
it's definitely a constant battle. It's a constant, you have to be an athlete.
Yeah.
I think the most important thing for a singer to understand is you are an athlete.
Yeah.
You have to sleep. You have to get the sleep.
Yeah.
You have to steam. You have to... you have to just be conscious of your instrument and look after it.
Yeah, treat it with respect. Yeah,
you have to look after it. Like I know that my present is I get to drink a glass of wine at the very end of the week because I've got 2 days till we sing. But I could never drink a glass of wine even once during the week.
Yeah, wow.
Even though I would really love to have a glass of wine.
Yeah.
You know, it's being aware of that's me.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that you as a singer have to do that because some people can be like, I can have a glass of wine every single night and it doesn't affect my throat.
Yeah.
But it's just your voice is an individual instrument.
Yeah.
It's so individual to you, you know, that you have to learn what works for you and what you need.
Sure.
And be able to really care for it.
And have you had to rethink the technique side of things, like to sing in the theatre, or is it the same kind of thing, you just changed it a little bit?
Well, I believe I'm always up for the challenge. Like I've had very versatile things come my way. Like, you know, from doing an opera tour with Andrea Bocelli to then doing fun pop Latin with Ricky Martin. And then through the years, just very different genres of music.
Yeah.
I was open to kind of going, all right, I'm aware that I'm not going to be memories, you know, I'm not going to be trilling out there. So I'm aware that I'm going to be a little straighter because that's just not, but at the end of the day, I'm a storyteller.
Yeah.
So the most important thing is what serves the right truth for this story in memory and where I sing it from just has to fit and match the environment.
Yeah.
And so my instincts will still be there in how I approach the song, but it's still mostly importantly above everything is your heart in heart.
Yeah.
I feel that that's, you know, it guides my voice with its placement, you know.
Amazing. Hey, that's hard stuff over. I'm not going to quiz you anymore. We're just going to do the Ticket A42 test. I know. I want to keep talking to you, but I'm very aware that you need to like rest and steam and drink some tea. Yeah. And I'm coming to see.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
She doesn't
shut up. I'm coming to see the show tomorrow night, so I'm like, I got to rest Delta. I got to keep her rested. So this is the Ticket A42 test. It obviously references the name of the podcast. It's just a few silly theatre questions. So the first one is the kid in A42, right? And it's just about, like, I ask every every guest that I have on the podcast about it, because my Ticket A42 actually came from this theatre where I saw Sunset Boulevard in Ticket A42 on my own when I was 17, and I was like, I want to be a singer and I'm going to be in
this.
Yeah. And so I kind of say to people, like, did you have an epiphany moment where you were watching a theatre show or a singer or whatever and you're like, I'm going to do that?
Yes, I did, very much so. Yeah. Well, I can give you quick two examples. One that involves theatre, which was I had just seen Phantom of the Opera in New York.
Yeah.
And I'm talking, I was about 5 or 6 years old.
Yeah.
And I'm very special treat by my mum. And I was singing just down the street, think of me fondly.
Yeah.
And my parents were standing in front of me and they both turned around and they said, do that again. And I remember going, you know, think of me fondly when we say goodbye. And my mum and dad, I remember, looked at each other. And it was maybe the very, very first memory I ever have of them going, huh, that's interesting. And, then I remember thinking, oh, they know now. That's what I'm going to be doing.
Oh, wow. So you knew.
So when I was about five, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I remember thinking in that moment, oh, they know now. That's what I'm doing. But the second one, to give you another one, is that when I saw John Farnham and I was a kid and I would close my eyes and I would listen to the applause and I would just cry.
Yeah.
Like I would just literally cry listening to the song and the music that he was bringing in of that kind of aspirational, like, we have, you know, and I'd just be like goosebumps and crying.
Oh,
and
God.
From the time I was a kid, I was just, I was like, and my thought process was, I can't wait till I get to do that.
Yeah.
It wasn't like I want to do it. It was like, oh, I can't wait till I get to do that.
He's like, he's my idol, you know, and he's lots of people's idols. Lots of people's idols. Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I've been in love and obsessed with his voice in my whole life.
Yeah. Have you sung with him?
Never.
You will, though. You're going to do it. You're going to do it. Yeah.
I believe one day.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it'd be nice for us to collide.
So this is called Very Superstitious. People get a bit kind of like, because it's 8 shows a week, repetition, they get a bit superstitious about patterns. So do you have anything that you do either before or during or after that you have to do? And if you don't, you'll have a little skits.
It's funny. I do in my own shows.
Yeah.
But no, I've been quite... The really big difference for me is the focus zone in of like in and out because I'm on and off.
Yes.
And learning just to switch on and switch off quicker, because that's definitely not how I do it with my concerts. Because it would be like, it's like a plane taking off. You have to be calm until it's time to take off and then you're flying. But this is like whoop-choo. But I mean, I like doing my plot. Like as a theatre, I've learnt this theatre world of that you have kind of a plot of like even if the plot means at halftime you're going to go, you go to this place to talk to this character that you like to talk to.
Yeah,
or,
always.
You know.
Yeah.
My absolutely only complaint is that I'm not on stage all the time. Sure. That's the only time. Yeah. That's the only thing that like bugs me at all.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Tell me the 5 things that you can't live without.
Tell you too, though. I've been gunning to play Misto backstage.
Oh, right.
Every day I'm like, I want to play Misto. Like, okay, your 6th cover, Delta. I'm like, it's never going to come around. Like,
I love it.
Trying for a henchman too.
Sure.
That's
could be a henchman. Just put the costume on and off you go.
In prison. They're going to let me do it.
Amazing. Tell me the 5 things you can't live without. In a theatre sense.
My steamer. My cups of tea.
Yeah. Should we have a look at that? A note has just come under the door.
Delta needs to get a break for dinner.
5 minutes. I've just been told by the powers that be that I need to stop.
Okay. Five things. My steamer, my tea, my chocolate.
Yeah.
I need some sweets because I get sugar because I'm a hyperactive character.
Yeah.
I'm always kind of very high energy. I eat a lot.
Yeah.
But I burn an awful lot. I need my mascara.
Yes.
I have a nervous twitch of mascara.
Yeah.
Mascara. I just keep putting mascara on for days.
Yeah.
And in any show I've ever done, they're always like, calm down on the mascara, Delta.
Yeah.
And I put candles in. I have Zen vibes.
Yeah.
I also have a lot of plant vibes. I should show you my dressing room. It's all plant vibes.
Yeah. Awesome.
It's got like little fake roses and things all over it.
So lovely.
I'm a hippie at heart, full stop.
Yeah.
you know.
Tell me if, like, phone a friend. Who do you call if you've got something great to tell, sad to tell, advice to ask? Who's that person?
Besides my mother, I have amazing mates. Like, I call my best mates. Like,
yeah.
I have a tripod. We have a tripod call. You know, that's Daniel and Jackie. And then I have my best girlfriend, Naze, and Danny. So I'm my best mates.
Lucky. Genie in a bottle, grant you 3 wishes. What are they?
Oh, that feels very like a big thing to put out there. well, at the moment I'm going to wish to continue to do more theatre because I love it. And to be healthy and happy with my friends and my family, obviously, my beautiful family. And to continue to do it with a laugh and do it with a smile.
Oh, awesome. tell me a secret skill you've got that no one would know. Can be like the tiniest thing, you know, can roll your tongue or something out of it.
People don't really know I'm like a skier. That's like my other thing.
Oh,
like,
amazing.
Like snow skiing is my, besides being on stage, I love snow skiing.
Yeah.
Incredible. Hey, so this is the last thing. It's called This or That, right? It's just 20 quick fire questions. You tell me which you prefer. Perfect. Sweet or savory?
Sweet.
Dog or cat?
Cat.
Tea or coffee?
Ooh, that hurts. I'm going to say coffee, though.
Black or white?
White.
In or out?
Out.
Walk or run?
Run.
Summer or winter?
Winter.
Sydney or Melbourne or Brisbane, because you're going there.
I can't answer that. I say neutral. Plead the fifth.
Beer or wine?
Wine.
Yeah. Chocolate or vanilla?
Chocolate.
Salt or pepper?
Salt.
Boxes or briefs?
Boxes.
Christmas or birthdays?
I'm very festive. I mean, my house is like a David Jones store when it's like time to do it. And my birthdays are the same. I love putting a birthday.
Yeah.
I can't
choose. Kisses or hugs?
Oh, I really am very, very tactile. I really don't, I wouldn't turn down either.
Okay. hot or cold?
I'm actually a bit more, I like the cold weather.
Yeah, me too. Day or night?
Night.
Mates or dates?
Nates.
His or hers?
Hers.
Me or you?
You.
Ah, you're nice. Hey, so we're just going to shamelessly plug Cats, which is finishing here in Melbourne tomorrow, but it goes up to Brisbane, and you guys preview from the 29th of January. Is that right? Just go to catsthemusical.com.au for details. And Delta is on Twitter and Instagram at Delta Goodrum. So am I, John James O'Hara. And Delta, thank you. Oh, amazing. Thank you so much for visiting or talking to me between shows.
Thank you so much for talking to me.
And we'll see you next time on Ticket A42. Bye.